We're doing the Ramban Torat Hashem Tmima. There's an extra copy here if someone wants to follow inside. In 10 minutes, okay? When we pause here. So we're up to page Mem Dalid in the Chazon Yoel edition. Ramban writes like this. V'chefetz b'chol ha'anashim u'v'chol u'ma. Every individual and every nation has the desire l'adat ha'atid l'avo aleihim, to know what's happening in the future, what's going to happen to them. V'yiched ha'kadosh baruch hu l'chelko, and Hashem gave a unique portion, Zera Avraham o'avo, to his chosen people. V'natan lehem ha'nevuah ha'amitit. Hashem gave us true prophecy. If this sounds like the Drashot Aran we're learning on Fridays, it should. It's a very similar concept to what we've been learning in the Drashot Aran. And so we don't need those who give us questionable forecasts of what the future holds. We don't need people who tell us only partial truths. Kmo shedarshu rabotenu zal, as our sages in the Medrash Rabbah explain, it says in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, modim lachadashim asher yavo alecha. It says they let people know the new things. They let people know some of what's going to happen to them. May asher yavo alecha. So the Medrash says they only tell you some of what's going to happen. Velo kol asher yavo alecha. They don't know everything that's going to happen. The Navi in Yeshaya is talking about hoverei shamayim, those who try to look in the stars of the heaven, hachozim bakochavim, they look at the stars and they tell people part of what's going to happen. They don't know accurately everything that's going to happen. The Navi can tell you with accuracy, A is going to happen at this time, B is going to happen at that time. And aside from the Medrash, if you look closely at the Psukim, the text tells you, it says in Devarim, Lo imatzei v'cha, there shouldn't be found amongst you, ma'avir beno v'ito v'esh, a person who passes his son or daughter through fire in the name of an idol. Kosem kesamim, those who do sorcery. Meonin, those who try to forecast the hours. Umnachesh umchashef, someone who is trying to minachesh. He tries to say, if A happens, then B will happen. That's called nichush. Mechashef is some kind of warlock. V'chover chaver is some person who knows how to say an incantation and he causes different animals together. V'shoel ov v'yidoni, someone who asks the deceased, the dead, through a process called ov and yideoni. V'doresh el ha'metim, or someone who does some kind of seance and asks questions of the dead. Ki to'avat Hashem kolo se'eile, Hashem says, I despise all those who do this. I find them despicable. Uvignal ha'to'evot ha'eile, Hashem elokecha morishotam mipanecha. And because of these disgraceful acts, Hashem is removing these people from the land of Israel and allowing you to take the land. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem elokecha. The pasuk says, Hashem wants us to be whole with Hashem, our God. Because the nations that you are now going to inherit their land, they listen to different sorcerers. They go to people who will tell them, at this hour, if you attack, you'll win. So they think they can forecast things based on their sorcery or based on figuring out the times. V'ata, however, you, says Hashem, you, the Jewish people, lo chen, you're not like that. Natan lecha Hashem elokecha. Hashem, your God, has given you something else. Navi, mikirbecha me'achecha kamoni, yakim lecha Hashem elokecha. Hashem, your God, will establish for you a prophet just like me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Elav tishmon, and you're going to have to listen to him. So you will have a prophet. They have something else. And what they have isn't so good. So these are the psukim. Achar shekalal, so the Ramban says, after the pasuk included in one, so to speak, in one grouping, he said, the menachshim, the kosmim, shoelov, yidonim, avir bno vito be'esh, all kinds of different sorcerers, to the ones who ask the dead, or the ones who pass their children through fire. Amal derech klal, so then Hashem says in a general way, ki bignal ha'toivot eile gireshet ha'amim min ha'aretz, that it's because of these disgraceful things that Hashem chased these nations out of the land of Israel. So Ramban says, wait a second. That's not so about every detail in the pasuk. Ki bnei Noach lo nitzdavu al hanichush. Noahites are not commanded to abstain from doing nichush. A Noahite can say, if it rains tomorrow, I'll cut the deal. A Noahite can say, if my boss is wearing a blue shirt tomorrow, I'll ask him for a raise. A Noahite can say, I'm going to do this test, and if it happens, I'll do this, and that's okay, he's entitled. So when the Pasuk says in a general way, it's because of these disgraceful things that Hashem kicked them out of the land, it's not talking about every detail, because some of those details, the non-Jews are allowed to do. A Noahite is allowed to do nichush. He's allowed to say, if A happens, that's a sign that God wants B to happen. We don't do that. We don't tell Hashem that. But a Noahite's allowed to. Why is a good question. We had a class on that last semester. We learned all the details. Was Eliezer permitted to do that? How permitted or prohibited are we from these acts? It's a big discussion in the Rishonim, and then in the Tur, and in the Beis Yosef, and in the Shulchan Aruch. So we went through the details, because we do find Eliezer said, if the girl offers me a drink, she's a sign, that's a sign she's the right girl. So the question is, what are we permitted to do? When Yonatan, Shaul's son, says, if they tell us, come up to us, then that's a sign we should go up to them, we'll win the war. If they tell us, wait down there, we'll come to you, then we got a problem. How could he do such a sign? How do you do such a thing? So that's the discussion in the commentaries down to the halacha. That's a discussion. Where do we draw the line? Is it because there was a logic to what Yonatan said? We are two and they are a whole army. If they tell us, come here, then obviously they're scared of us. So that's a sign that we're going to win. So that's the discussion among the commentaries. Can I tell Hashem in my prayer, if you do A, then I know you want me to do B.
Also with, I don't know, it's a different promise. With where David, where I can't remember the names, but said that if whoever kills Goliath,
that's a prize.
That's a different, okay.
Yeah.
It's different to Eliezer.
So, Ramban says, Noahides are not commanded to abstain from Nichush. Now, before we continue, what Ramban is saying here can be better understood based on a Ramban in his commentary on the Rambam in the introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot. We're going to segue for a second, just because it's important concepts that the Ramban discusses over there. Okay, so let's take a pause for a second to see that Ramban. The Rambam writes, I'm going to give you the rules, I'm going to enumerate the 613 mitzvot, because after I enumerate all 613, then I know when I write my work, the Yad HaChazakah, I'll cover all of the Torah. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. And this is the way many commentaries worked. Before the Rosh wrote his commentary, he wrote an outline of Tosfos. If you look at the end of your Gemara, right after the Gemara, there's an outline of Tosfot called Piskei HaTosfot, which the Rosh wrote a summary of all the Tosfot Malacha. He wrote it for himself before he wrote the Rosh. His son, the Tur, before he compiled the Tur, he wrote a summary of the Rosh. So if you look at the end of the Rosh, there's the Piskei HaRosh, an outline of what the Rosh, his rulings were. So this is the way many commentaries worked. They first wrote an outline so they know they get the work right. So Rambam writes, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you the rules, how you decide what's included in 613 mitzvot. This is very important. For example, we say Kriyat Shema morning and evening. Are they two different mitzvot? You put on tefillin on your arm and your head. Are they two different mitzvot? The Torah says, don't cut the corners of your face. Don't cut the hair on the corners of your face. There are five corners on your face. Is that five different mitzvot? The Torah says, don't cut the corners of your hair on your head. Right? What we call the peyot arosh. Is that two mitzvot? Is that a separate mitzvah from the corners of your head? The Torah says, give your ma'aser sheni to the widow, to the orphan, to the convert. Help them out. Wait, is that three mitzvot? to give, to help out the widow, the orphan, the convert. Right? So we have many mitzvot in the Torah, and how you break them down is a big question. How do you get to 613? So Rambam gives us rules. So Rambam's first rule is, don't count rabbinic mitzvot. Only count biblical mitzvot. The Talmud said, Moshe Rabbeinu received at Sinai 613 mitzvot, Torah tzivalanu Moshe. It's obvious that 613 mitzvot do not include rabbinic mitzvot. Rambam says, I shouldn't have to mention this, but my predecessors, some of the earlier commentaries, when they counted 613, they counted the mitzvah to say Hallel. So Rambam says, how could you say Hallel is a mitzvah? Is a biblical mitzvah? David HaMelech compiled Hallel. Could there be a biblical mitzvah to say Hallel? David wrote Tehillim. What are you going to say? They had a mitzvah to say something when King David would write it? No, it's not a biblical mitzvah. So he goes on and on saying how it's ridiculous to think that you could count any rabbinic mitzvah in the 613. And along comes Nachmanides, Ramban. And Ramban, very often in his commentary, he works to protect the earlier opinions. He says, I know they were attacked, let me explain to you the logic behind what they said. So he said, first of all, according to some texts in Talmud, it doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu received 613 mitzvot. Some have the Girsa, some have the version that it says, the Jewish people have 613 mitzvot. So if it doesn't say that they were given at Sinai, then it can include the rabbinic mitzvot. If the way Baal Halachos Gedolos, his Gemara read, the Jewish people observe 613 mitzvot, so then that could include lighting Hanukkah candles and reading Megillas Esther, and it can include the rabbinic mitzvot. That's number one. Point number two, and that's why we came here, saying why did we go on this tangent? Because Ramban says, it says in the Jerusalem Talmud, in the verses in the book of Shmuel and in Divrei Hayamim and Chronicles, it says that King David was king for 40 years. It says, "Bechevron malach sheva shanim." He was king in Hevron for 7 years. "Uviyushalayim malach shalosh shloshim shana." And in Jerusalem, he was king for 33 years. Then the Jerusalem Talmud asks, "But there was another 6 months. Where did those 6 months go?" And then the Jerusalem Talmud says a rule. It says, Cheshbon Gadol gives two explanations. One explanation is, the big number swallows up the small number. When we speak about big numbers, sometimes we ignore the small number. So that means, one could say that he was king for a broad number of years, even in Jerusalem, even though he technically was in Jerusalem for 33 out of the 40 years. Because we'll say he was king in Jerusalem for 40 years. Says Ramban, this concept is in Torah, this concept is in Talmud. The Torah says, Yaakov Avinu went down to Egypt with his family and they numbered 70. Did 70 people go down to Egypt? No. Yosef and his two sons are part of the 70, and they weren't going down with Yaakov to Egypt. They were already down in Egypt. So Ramban says, throughout Torah, we have this concept that when we say a number, if I say, this whole class davened Ma'ariv already. I say, we all davened Ma'ariv. Really, I mean, in general, we davened Ma'ariv. We had a minyan here before class started. It could be one or two guys came in and they didn't. But when I say a generalization, when I say the class davened beforehand, I can say that even though there are individuals who did not, I mean to say, in a general way, the class did. And so says the Ramban, the Talmud could say that there are 613 mitzvot from Sinai, even if 7 out of the 613 are rabbinic, it's legitimate to say that. So that's a rule Ramban told us. Now coming back to our Ramban here. The Pasuk can say, these mitzvot are the cause for the non-Jews being kicked out of Israel. Even though technically, it's all these mitzvot except one. But it's saying in general, these are the mitzvot that caused them to be kicked out. I'm just saying what Nachmanides says here is in line with what Nachmanides writes there. That the way of Torah and the way of Talmud is to say something in a general way, even if it doesn't match up to some of the finer details, it only matches up to the majority of the details. Okay.
Sometimes, don't they go to huge lengths to get the exact number? I mean, now we're talking in the Gilead Esther, the 70 years, and about, so for certain things, they won't accept the B-law.
We try.